The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Victoria and I are on the phone tonight, you guys. So, hi, angels, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight, those of you who are listening in. We have a great show in store for you, and it's a real honor and privilege to have a friend of mine. She started out as a client, and then we became friends, and she is amazing. But she has healed herself of Lyme's disease, and I think, Victoria, that's an incurable disease, isn't it, Lyme's disease? I, you know, I've got friends that are suffering from it right now, and I have a guy who's in bed. He's so angry that he can't heal it, and he's tried everything. So that is an incurable disease, is it not? For the most part.
Right. If they don't catch it right away, it can be chronic, which it could surface whenever it desires, usually under a lot of stress or some kind of physical trauma to the body, whether it's like a car accident or anything that's just out of the norm, I guess you could say.
So it's a chronic condition that lasts your lifetime. And I know that when I'm reading your story, and you and I started working together a couple of years ago, I met you, and when I met you, you were suffering from it and really had a lot of drama in your life, and I think that's where we'll start is drama, because any of you guys who are listening chase love. I chase love. Never can catch it, but then I said, maybe I should just stop and let it find me, and that was a few years ago myself, but you were searching for love and with a guy that probably wasn't the best guy for you. But you and I started working together and it's been a process, but you're off all your medications now. You got energy, you're doing your life passion, and you're doing what you love and loving what you do. And I know you just bought your first horse. Or not bought it, it's actually given to you. It sounds great because you got energy and you can work, but it wasn't always like that. So give everybody an idea of where you started, and I'll ask you questions, so if that's okay.
Well, I basically had gotten the disease back in like 2002 when I was in the military. I had no idea that I had it, but I just know that something wasn't right, and it took me a really long time, about like three and a half years, to find out that I had the Lyme disease to begin with. So at that point, I was exhausted of fighting for my rights, the rights to get the right attention, and also the rights to know what my body is feeling. And, I ended up seeing a doctor, and she confirmed that I had Lyme disease, and then she put me on a really, really, really vigorous medicine therapy. I was up to about 14 medications a day, and it was difficult because I was out of the military, starting a new job, working shift work, where I'd work, a whole month worth of nights, where I would do like 5 days of nights, and then I'd be off three, and then another 5 days of nights, and it was really difficult because my body wasn't the way it used to be. I didn't feel good at all. The medicines tend to make you feel worse before they make you feel better, and I just had to push through, and it was horrible. I had no energy, but I had to get up, and I was tired, constantly depressed. My body was not at all like it used to be before I joined the military. I used to never have problems dating. Excuse my dog, she likes this squeaky toy.
Don't worry, I got a big one myself.
It really literally, it took over my body and my mind, because that's all I could focus on, because I had to remember to take certain medications at certain times of the day. I had to remember to eat certain things and to avoid certain things that wouldn't interact with the medications too. I was on an IV PICC line. Talk about challenges. I had the medical challenges. And so pretty much, I slept 13 plus hours a day as much as I can. It was just like I was the disease, And
wow.
It took me a really long time to realize. People say don't let the disease, be you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I never got what they meant. But, you know, when you live the disease and you feel that the disease is you, you start telling people that you are the disease. You know, oh, I'm Victoria, I have Lyme disease. You know, and I realized I was doing a lot of that stuff. And I just, you know, I had the job, I had the finances. I didn't have the guy, you know, I was dating some guy at the time, but it wasn't really necessarily the right one. I kept him around just for the sake of the comfort of having someone around, but he really wasn't that helpful. You know, and I broke my leg during the same time when I was getting treatment, so it was just like, it seemed like one really bad thing after another, and I was just done, you know, and that's when I, you know, I think you and I connected because, like, I was still going through treatment, but it's just like I just couldn't get out of the funk. And I thought, you know, at turning 40, I was just going to be staying in that same zone forever. I'm like, is this really what I'm supposed to live for, this funk forever?
So you're 40, going on 80, if I get you right, and angry and tired.
Yeah.
And having a guy around who was who would understand the way you felt and wouldn't put too many demands on you, and you felt, I know that you were in and out of treatment. Were you in the hospital, in and out of the hospital? I don't remember, but I knew you missed a lot of work. They were used to you calling in.
Yeah, I was constantly missing work. Yeah, because I'm just I'd wake up with like burning, you know, like joint pain and stuff, and it was just like, random. It was just hard to just live, you know, and it was very difficult. You know, it wasn't really what I had anticipated my life to be, you know, and I was just very, I was angry that, you know, I joined the military with good intentions and then I get this crappy disease that totally destroyed me, you know, and I was angry. I was very angry.
I get you. And, you know, I understand well because I'm really working on healing myself. I'm getting there, not as far along as you are, but, hey, it's a journey. So let me ask you a question. And you guys that are listening in, we talked about this today, and people go, well, how do you heal yourself? Do you pray to the angels? And do you pray to God? Do you pray to Jesus? Pray to Buddha? Well, you do all that. But I think a real key, and Victoria and I were speaking about this, and this is a key, is getting rid of the drama in your life because you're like, oh, that sounds wonderful. It's all peaceful and quiet. That's not the way it is because then you look at the drama that you caused in your life. You look at you. And Victoria and I were talking about it. And Victoria, you would agree, right? Because when you're when you're with a guy, okay, you're trying to help one of your friends, let's go with both scenarios. When you're with a guy and you're chasing love or you're like, why isn't he calling or is this the right guy for me or you're doing all the things that we as women and men do the same thing, is this the right woman for me? She's doing all these things and you're sick. You have to look at yourself, right? You're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're emotionally sick. You found that to be true, didn't you? You're like, oh, I'm going to look at myself.
I think one of the big things is that you hear people say that. You know, you hear people say, oh, but, you know, you have to attract good people in order to get good people, or you have to be good to yourself in order to get good people. Get rid of the drama so you can get rid of the negativity. But it's like it's the application of the actual thought that really goes into play, and it really is important. Like there's no tomorrow.
I'm going to agree with you on that, Nan, 150%. I know that when I said to myself, I'm not going to date anybody until I heal myself totally of the sugar issues I have. And by the way, guys, for most of you that don't know, I am within 10 units of doing that of insulin a day. So I started out at 80, down to 10. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I know Victoria, I know. But, we talked about the type of men we want, and I go, okay, I'm going to put men on hold. I know that you have done some similar things to that as well. But what happens is you start looking at yourself, and you're like, oh, my drama in my own life is, like, not the best because I got a lot of stuff going on. And one of the things I think that I realized is my own thought processes, you know, how often I would get negative about things or how often I would judge things or how often I would judge myself, and I still struggle with that. Tell me about you, okay? So key is getting rid of looking at the drama and saying, I'm not going to go out on the outside to get drama. I'm going to heal the drama in my own life first.
Right.
And then that.
The first thing is to start loving you. And loving yourself doesn't mean that you buy things for yourself. So I think that's the first thing that we think. Loving is like pampering. But it's more inner. It's more loving exactly who you are emotionally and then also physically. You know, you take everything of what you are and just embrace it and say, you know what, if I want to have a beautiful body, then what I need to do is I need to treat it kindly, like you would if your body was your boyfriend, you know. All that effort you put into, you know, giving things to your boyfriend or sending love and admiration and desire to your boyfriend, you give it to yourself. And so you sit there and you're like, you know what, I'm willing to sit there and eat healthy. You know, that's the first thing I need to do. I need to really make sure I'm putting the right food in my body. You know, however, you know, whatever the right food is for you. Because for me, you know, it was really cutting out processed foods and stuff like that because my body needed to have pure food, not, you know, chemically altered and stuff. So I started, you know, looking at my nutrition. And then I started looking at, you know, activities. You know, I started running 5Ks, you know, just trying to be more active to get my body moving instead of living at home in the pity party. You know,
right,
and so I just was like, you know what, as much as I want a man to be in my life, I want a man to be in my life to love me for who I am, not me because he feels sad or sorry for me. So in order for him to want to love me, I have to have him love the me that I know I am. So I had to bring myself back to that way that I know my body could be and myself. So my self-esteem had to go up, my self-confidence, all of that.
Let me ask you a question. I know that, and you know, I'm on a similar journey with this. There are times that, you know, when you start taking the drama on the outside and you look at it on the inside, and there were times I would have dreams of actually how every thought, every drama that we get on the outside, every relationship, every negative thought or positive thought affects your organs, every darn one of them. I had a dream about that. I was like, huh. That's not good because I was thinking, how many negative thoughts? And, guys, that's true today.
Yep.
Every thought you have affects your organs. And so, and I dreamed about that, and I also had thoughts about my exes and how they affected my body. And in meditation, I would get it because I wasn't going on the outside anymore trying to have a love life with bringing all this baggage, you know, or having healing, trying to help friends heal when I haven't even healed myself. I looked at me, okay? So some of the things that you looked at and went through, those are mine. So what are some of the things, and there's tons of them, trust me, you live daily and you don't do the drama thing, you'll get to know yourself better. That's for darn sure.
I made the God box, which helped, you know, where you'd write your worries and your fears. So that anything that I just didn't know how to handle, I wrote on a piece of paper, and I found this really ornate vase that I got from like Michael's or something that had something that was meaningful for me. So it was red and it had hearts on it because I knew whatever I was putting in there was that with the intention of fixing it out of love.
Okay.
And so I would just write my worries and I'd drop it in there and I knew that once I put it in there, it was going to be taken care of. So that was one thing I did. And then the other thing I used to do is every time I realized I said something negative, I would clear, cancel, and delete it. And that came from one of Doreen Virtue's angel cards. So every time I thought of something negative, I was like, you know what? No, we're going to erase it and think of something positive. And it was just like a habit of constantly stopping the negative thoughts, the judgmental, you know, because we walk down the street, we're like, wow, look at that girl's outfit. You know what I mean? I'm like, who am I to judge that girl for her outfit, you know, or who am I to say someone's not beautiful when they really are? Do you know what I mean? So I just started, you know, realizing that all the stuff that I was thinking just subconsciously or just out of habit, you know, and I stopped it. I was like, you know what? I'm not a judge. I'm not the maker. I'm going to worry about myself. So anytime I thought of something negative, I would clear it. I would cancel it, delete it, and then fill it with something new. And then I realized, I was like, I'm walking around with no thought. Like this calmness. I'm like, I'm not thinking. It's not bad or good. It's just peace. And I realized, I was like, wow, I'm really taking hold of this. And I stopped being judgmental. You know, I stopped really like just looking around and just always having something to say. And it helped tremendously because, you know, even when I started thinking about myself, you know, I mean, honestly, I used to look in the mirror And I used to cry, and I used to try to gouge my skin because I was so upset at the way I was looking, you know. Right. And what I had to do is look in the mirror and said, you know what, I love you, all of it, you know. And I had to stop looking in the mirror and saying, ew. I had to start saying, no, I love you. I love you. I love you for everything. And that's also part of negative. You can't look at yourself negatively either, because it is a law of attraction. You know, you look at yourself negatively, you're going to attract men who are going to look at you negatively. Or you're going to attract, you know, friends that are going to just not really be in your best interest either. You know, and you want to have a good group and circle of friends around you. So in order to do it, it is the law of attraction. You feel good, you feel positive, you attract positive. You know, you feel good and negative, or you feel bad and negative, you attract the negative. And it is absolutely true. So you yourself has to be the magnet, the center of all. So if you want to be positive and beautiful, then you need to be positive and beautiful.
That's true. I agree with you. So first of all, address the drama, get rid of it. Don't, you know, out of your, on the outside life, and look at the inside and start taking in consideration every thought you have. And guys, I struggle with this today myself, you know. I know that, yeah, exactly. So I look at, you know, I look at, because I, you know, I'm really tough on my physical body, and I look at what I'm doing and how I look. And you know, if a guy looks at me, I'm thinking he's back. He's probably looking at some piece of fat hanging out. Although, I don't think so, because I don't think, I mean, I logically know that. You know, I told Corrine that today. I said, he's probably looking at some piece of fat, you know, because I was at the store or whatever. And, but, you know, that's something that goes back to my childhood. So when I had that thought, all right, and because I'm really focusing on myself, then it's like, okay, help me heal that thought. And then Vicky and I were talking today, and she had a thought, and she goes, okay, I said, take it and heal it, or ask the angels, ask the causal plane to heal that thought. Because when you're focused on yourself, you can look at yourself. And it's not, sometimes it's not pretty, but you got to love it all. And for me, I was super angry, and you said you were super angry too. Why did I have this illness? Why did I choose it? I mean, I was a kid. I spent my 10th birthday in the hospital. And I know you got it when you were a little older, but you asked yourself, why I was the only one in my family. I'm like, how lucky can I be, right? So then you look at what was your epiphany, aha moment, when you figured out your soul's plan, and because you chose everything you experienced, and emotional problems, physical problems, emotional joys, physical joys, all of those things. So the third step, I think, is really figuring out why, and you can make this the first one, but it's easier if you deal with the other two, healing the thoughts, and then you can get to this point, and also getting rid of the outside drama so you can look at the drama in your own life. And then the third thing is, like, why do I have this illness? And why do I, and you can use it with emotions or anything. So what was the aha moment why you had this? Because I was angry for years. I get you. So talk to us about that.
Well, past life regression. I can really talk here. you and myself and Kareem, the woman you used to work with, like Papak, and that's when we found out that my Lyme disease was given to me on purpose for this lifetime to remind me not to allow myself to define me. So I was like, okay, allow myself to define me. I'm like, wait. So for the past 4 years that I've been going through treatment, I allowed this disease to define me, and I've lived through hell. You know, I had a crappy relationship. You know, I had horrible stuff going on at work. I was feeling crappy. My body was, you know, not where I wanted to be. I felt like crap. I was like, wow, so wait, those 3 years I just wasted on having Lyme disease define me. I'm like, well, that's going to change. You know, I was like, that's the first thing, forget it. I mean, if it's that easy, then I'm changing that. And then I also read that book on the soul's planning, the soul's gift, I think, or something it's called. And it really it talks about people, and it's not only just people sick, but that our plan, our life plan in general, has been talked about and planned out by souls and your soul circle.
you know, on what experiences you're going to experience this lifetime for you to learn a specific lesson, right? So I'm like, okay. So I'm reading this book, and they go through things like people getting HIV, death, divorces, marriages, abortions, you know, like tons of really difficult topics that most people face at some point in, you know, this world. And you wonder that this is like a punishment, but in all reality, it's not a punishment. That even these negative issues are actually a lesson that's supposed to be learned from it. So if you take that every negative thing has a positive, then you just have to find out what that positive is. And so I was like, oh, okay, I get this. I was like, so I'm not going to allow my disease to define me, and then I'm going to love myself, and then I'm going to find out what my purpose is to be in this life. And I said, and that's what I decided to do. And I'm like, if it's seemingly this easy, then that's what I'm going to do. So that's how I looked at it. And even like the shooting at the Washington Navy Yard this past week, you know what, I feel really awful, but you know what, that was planned out. And there's
right.
a reason
You're
and
right.
purpose for it. And I don't, you know, whether it's for us, you know, as the people looking into the situation from the outside, is to have more compassion. Or, you know, it's not something like strict gun control or something like that, but it's something more of an emotional lesson, you know, whether it is a compassion for others where you normally wouldn't have, or, you know, it could be simple like that, but there is a lesson to be learned. And when you see that and you realize that there is something for everything, life seems to be a lot more easier to take. And that's how I decided to look at my life and my viewpoint on pretty much everything. So between that, learning about the soul planning, and then also realizing what Lyme disease was supposed to mean for me, helped me tremendously.
Okay, I'm going to recap that. The guys, she got looked at herself without the drama, and she got rid of the drama out on the outside so she could look at the drama in her own life. I've done the same. I know several of you guys are in the process of doing it or have done it and had some aha moments. And then, you know, she looked at her thoughts. Where are your thoughts every day? Because when you're not out there thinking about what a jackass he is or what a jackass she is, or, you know, how wrong you are, how right you are, you know, and how your friends and the guy or the girl or whatever, then you can look at your own thoughts and realize how and every thought affects your body, every darn one of them, and your emotions and those kind of things. Because we talked about, you know, Thursday night we have a mind-body-spirit show. Well, everything is a mind, body, spirit, isn't it? So she did that and then looked at her soul's plan. And, you know, and we did a past life regression. She read the book. So, and to be quite frank with you, Victoria is not someone that carries a lot of bad baggage with her. Okay. I talk to people, you know, and you guys, some of you guys are coaches and work with people as well. Some people carry a lot of baggage with them and are playing the blame game. Somebody told me that the other day, the blame game. Anyway, so playing the blame game on why my life sucks, right? And he calls this or she calls this or whatever. So when you get your soul's plan, you chose everything, right? Can you believe that? Some of you
yeah,
are saying,
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. To the, like the dog
yeah.
you get, to the clothes you wear, the body you're going to have, like everything.
That's
it just
right.
makes
you
so much
everything.
Better sense, you know? And even, like,
yes.
even those that nasty girl or boy that you were friends with that turned around and stabbed you in your back, that was planned. And she willingly or he willingly chose to be in this lifetime to do that to you to help you reach your lesson. And that
that's
I find
true.
To be absolutely fascinating. So
I
that's why it
to be liberating.
Oh, my God,
yeah,
and I found, you know, everyone, you hear people say, everybody comes into your life for a reason, and it's absolutely true. So never look at a negative as a negative, and always look at it as a positive, and then all of a sudden your whole entire life is nothing but positive, and that's what you want. You want to be in the positive. You want to attract positive, and if you have a positive viewpoint on what your life is, then you know what? You're not going to have the negative anymore. And you're just going to keep on motoring forward into this awesomeness because you're realizing that there is no negative situation. It is all just a learning lesson to a positive outcome.
There you go. That's a great way to say it. And I agree with you 100% because when I read the book, and I think that we recommended it to you, Mm-hmm,
you did.
You recommend it to other people. One of the things that I got, because I had forgiven the anger years ago about being in this situation, and I knew that it was here to teach me self-love. And also, I got that I wanted to choose something that, like you, was chronic, that so I could still work, I could still be, you know, have a great life, but something to keep me in check, right, where I wouldn't just bounce off the walls, you know what I mean, and be super grounded, mm-hmm. which I am. But I remember, and this is, you know, this is a few years ago, I remember telling my I was sick, super sick, and I just gotten back from traveling around California. And I was in the back of an ambulance because I had swine flu, and it had turned into ketoacidosis, right? So these three angels are there, and they're going, you're going to heal yourself with diabetes. And I was like, really? I said, well, you're here now. Why don't you just do the job now? I was like, no, you'll do it yourself. I was like, thanks. So anyway, I realize now the lessons that I've learned, okay, from having it and realizing that you can heal yourself of anything. And that God is not outside of us. God lives on the inside of us. And that is a big lesson there, that we're not separate from God.
Huge.
Huge lesson. God and you, God and me, God and Victoria are all hanging out together in some plane, right? And if we realize that, that's key. So when we realize that, and realize that you chose this for a lesson, and there were so many reasons why I chose this, but I chose it for the biggest thing is because, you know, the teacher and helping people heal themselves and helping people find their soul purpose is my soul purpose, and then when you got the aha moment, I'll never forget when you got that you were like one, you and God were one, and God and I are one, and God and all you guys are one, you know, or some people call mm-hmm. it the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever. And that was huge. I was like, you mean, I actually chose this load of stuff, and I chose the Antichrist, mm-hmm. my ex-husband, and I know you chose, you know, we all have an Antichrist, could be a woman, could be a man, could be a few of them, right? And I go, I can take responsibility for this. And when you really get that, you can say, help me heal this belief. Help. What is a thought? What is a belief? It's a thought you have over and over and over again, right? And help me heal mm-hmm. this belief, and help me heal this thought, and so that I know who I really am. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I have done that, and it has made such a huge difference. I'm going to share this with you, too, as well, because you said a little bit. I chose to really change my eating habits and really work on my physical body and embrace it. And, you know, like you, I'm running and 5Ks and all that kind of stuff. And then we both work out. Joel's my trainer, and he's your trainer too, and he's everybody else's trainer on here. He's nice to Victoria. He's not nice to me. I think it's because I see him face to face, you know.
Aww.
So, but you know, you find a good trainer, you find a good, you know, and keep hold yourself accountable. I know Karina's doing that too. I think this the working your body and appreciating your body, and the way I do it is like when I'm running, I was like, man, I connect with my legs, my body, and my feet, and everything. I connect with my pancreas. But you've got to respect yourself enough. I think this is important to I tell people I'm not getting involved with anybody until after I heal this. And because then my body is so new, this pancreas is working out so new, but it would be like a bomb going off on a newborn baby if I really got into drama in a relationship, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Drama.
It would just set off your pattern of healing. Because you're in so new, it's not ingrained yet. You know what I mean? So you're just like, I just want to really work on me. And that's what I did too. I mean, I've been honestly single since 2007, you know, with some randomness in between. But, you know, really, seriously,
randomness,
no.
I love how you say that.
But I really realized that I found
a great guy though. That they're becoming friends first, and good for you because I believe that you have to be friends first. I would love to marry my best friend.
But it is,
you know?
The journey to heal is nothing that's going to be overnight. It's a huge amount of self reflection, a lot of inner work, and being very introspective, and realizing that you're not perfect. That most of the times, all the things that are going on in your life is driven because of yourself.
True.
And if you think of yourself as a magnet,
then respect your magnet and you want to attract the right people. I was attracting men that were married or men that just wanted to play around. And I'm like, why? You know why? Because I didn't respect myself. So why would I attract a man who would respect me?
That's so good.
Simple.
That's so good. That's so true. Yes. I always like the four S's.
You know?
Single, savvy, sexy, and smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's my, that's my thing. So,
but it's like simple about looking at it, like what is this guy making me feel? And then you're like, well, am I feeling that way myself? Do you know what I mean? And it's a lot of thinking, but you know what? If you really have that determination where you want to get yourself to a better place, you're going to do it. And you're going to have faith in the fact that it's going to work. So if you put all your energy into the angels to help you guide, to help you heal, believe that's happening. Don't sit there and be like, well, how do I know it's going to happen? Well, you know what? You need to have faith that it's happening. You need to really trust
and believe.
And
you also need to connect with God with it, too, as well. You know, the God that's inside of you, whether it's you call it Buddha or God or whoever you call it, and that higher part of you.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm going to ask you this. People, and I'm getting texts about this. Yes, the angels are important. Yes, meditation is important. And that's what she's saying, self-reflection, is including meditation. But let me tell you something.
I
right
asked
now.
You how to meditate. Remember the many times I'm like, I don't know if I'm meditating right. But I think if you actually spend some time with yourself alone in quietness,
right.
No matter however you do it, you're meditating. It doesn't have to be on.
That's right.
You don't have to have spiritual music playing. Because honestly, I just sit there at my most quietest, usually it's at night before I go to bed. And that's when I reflect. That's when I talk. That's when I meditate, pray, whatever you call it. But I'm giving myself that opportunity to get deep with myself.
That's cool.
So it doesn't have to be all that meditation that people think is.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. No, you don't. And breathing in and out, I teach breathing exercises. Breathing in and out is really key. You know, and concentrating on your breathing. And you do it for 5 minutes. But that's a downtime for self-reflection time. And people, I don't have time to do that.
It's your intention.
Yes, your intention.
It's your intention. You know, so if you intend to give yourself some quiet time and you're doing it with your full heart, then it's going to work.
That's so true. That's very good, Victoria. She's right, you guys. So somebody just texted me, yes, meditation is key. You know, doing some of the things with the Archangel Raphael, who's an angel of healing, you know, some Jesus, Buddha, whoever you pray to, God. Prayer medicine, meditation. Well, let me tell you some other things that will speed us up is when you can have the aha moments and read your soul's plan. I can't remember who wrote that, but it's on the Angel Coach's Facebook page. Look at your, you know, cut the drama out of the outside part of you and quit trying to heal everybody else till you heal yourself and quit trying to chase love. Let love chase you or let the guy stretch for you. You can stretch for the guy too because I think it requires both. In the family drama, that's your kids too as well. You know, my father the other day, he said to me, Victoria, he goes, I can't believe you're on that low of insulin. I haven't been this on low on insulin since the first year I had, you know, had discovered this. And I don't even say I have this. I just say I'm in the process of healing sugar challenges. You know what I mean? So my mind can do that. So that's important too. It's like not acknowledging or not saying that you have something because your mind doesn't know past, present, and future. It just knows now. So whatever you're sending out now is that energy you're getting tomorrow. So I say I have sugar challenges, and I'm healing. I'm almost healed. I'm healing myself, those kind of things. So that's real key,
exactly.
Too, I think. And I think you
absolutely.
Do the same thing. How long did it take
did
you to get all the medications?
Little.
Oh, go ahead.
I
want to hear
process.
That.
Well, when I was little, I did something where, you know, they tell you that you could heal your body. When I was little, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So what I did, I was very sick one day. I had a fever, and we're supposed to go to an aunt's house for a Christmas party, whatever. And it was early in the morning. My mom's like, yeah, you're not going. You have a fever. So all day, I was like, you know what? I'm healthy. I don't have a fever. I'm not sick. I'm healthy. And I did that all day, like talking to myself, swearing I did not have a fever. And my fever went from 103 early in the morning down to, like, 99.9, like, later
cool.
in the evening when we're supposed to left. And then my mom's like, nope, you're still not going. And then, bam, it went right back up within no more than, like, 30 minutes, not even. And I'm like, you know what? You can really do heal your body. You can really physically make your body healthy. But this was, like, when I was young, you know. I was just like, okay, cool.
But now that I know that you really, really, really can, I was just like, wow. So even when I was little, I was playing around with that, and it really did work. You know, so yeah, it is possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it is too as well. And the most important thing is really focusing on being healthy and healing. When I really meditate in the morning, I remember a time when I was I'm totally healthy and healing. It helped well now. And that's something that I do know, that it's all an illusion, because I got that the other day, that everything is an illusion. And we can either subscribe to the illusion of being sick, or subscribe to the illusion, or just subscribe to being, or being who we really are, which is a healthy spiritual being having a human experience. And so I get that.
Right.
That was the message I got over the weekend. Yeah,
and I was on a good 14 medications, and I was weaned off from most of them up to about 5. You know, the standard ones I was constantly being put on periodically because I would have flares, and those are the ones that I got off of because I realized that, you know what, I don't need them because my body doesn't need this Lyme disease because it's only to prove a point. So I get the point. Therefore, I don't need it. And then I went into this whole process of going to a nutritionist to get my body built back up to a normal level where my, you know, my vitamin levels and everything is functioning properly. And just making that effort to rebuild myself has made me, like, tons better, you know, incrementally. Oh, my God. Like, over the past 6 months, like, my body has been a whole lot better and responding differently and looking better.
Yeah. But she's won, the guys listening, she's won like 6 blue ribbons last time I talked to her, just got her new horse. Let me see if I can recap this new horse yesterday. She's got, you know, she's opening a barn where she's going to train people, families, kids, veterans, to heal their self-esteem, heal themselves, and using horses as a mode to do that. And she's going to live in she's in the process now of getting the barn, the house, and so I'm excited about it for her. I'm excited because I remember when you started, you know what I mean? You were like this little, I feel like a little lost puppy sometimes for myself. Yeah. You know, years
and I
ago.
I described
myself
as running on a treadmill going nowhere. Running fast, but going nowhere. Really miserable. And I could tell you that today I could go to bed every night and I'm grateful. Because you know what, everything is just—it's so at a calm, you know. Like little things that used to bother me don't, you know. And it's just my viewpoint on life has changed, and it's really—it is a mind, body, spirit adventure. But you just have to be willing to give up a lot of that baggage, that negativity, the clouds. You need to really clean house. You need to really realize that, you know, you are in control of yourself. You know,
that's right.
And you are the sanctuary. You are the church. You are that sacred ground. So if you don't respect your sacred ground, how are others going to?
That's true. That's so true.
Doctors, it could be doctors, medicine. You know, if you put medicine in your body all the time, how are you respecting your body? So, I mean, medicines are really nasty. You know, they clean
well,
your body.
I agree with you. Yeah, they can. And so, you know, so you got to figure out where to start, you know. And I think controlling your thoughts, getting rid of the outside drama so you can do control your thoughts.
It's a great first step.
Yeah, meditation.
Great first step.
Looking at what you're putting in your body and what you're putting in your mind, what you're doing already. And then really saying, hey, if you have a belief that doesn't work, and it's holding you back, because and ask the angels, ask spirit, say, hey, show me what's not working here. Show me these negative thoughts. And when you're there by yourself because you're not trying to help anybody but you, let me tell you, you'll get the answers. When you ask, you always get the answers, I think. So that's been my own experience and other people's experience. Yeah, yeah.
And
you
find
as well.
That, you know, when you're changing yourself, you're going to start repelling people that are negative, and you're just like, wow, this person's not really friends with me anymore. Why? But you're like, wait, oh, I know. She brought drama to my life, and now I don't want it. So you know what? That's okay. We'll be friends again once things clear up, you know? And just move on.
Go.
And just like, reason and purpose, done.
But live on purpose, that's always good too. I think that was Dolly Parton. She used to always live on purpose. I like that lady. She's a smart cookie. All right, well, we've got, you guys have been wonderful. I hope this has helped you. You know, and I contributed a lot. I was like, I'm not supposed to do this, so. Anyway, but it, you heard a great story with Victoria, Lyme's disease. I'm telling you, I have a friend of mine right now, two of them actually, that are suffering in bed, and I hope they listen to this. They said they were, you know what I mean? So you don't have to live with anything that you don't choose. And so you can choose that health and happiness anytime. It's there for you. Victoria is a new, she's going to be an angel coach. She's going to be mm-hmm. on that. And I'm excited about that for her because she's going to bridge it with what she's doing with horses and helping people. So I appreciate that with her. She's also been really wonderful. You guys, and I'm going to put this out there, if you go to my Facebook page, or not my Facebook page, Angel Coaches is a spiritual community, and what we do here is we like helping people. And I appreciate, I'm going to say this on the radio show, and I'm going to go write about it, I'll blog about it on the Angel Coaches page. We had a situation where, and it's still, we got a Band-Aid on it right now, 60, 65-year-old couple, and they're homeless. And when is homeless, like, become 60 and 65 or soccer moms? I've heard that story, too, recently. But these are a couple, 60 and 65. And I went over there, and their stuff is thrown out on the floor, on the ground, and they're just trying to make it, and it's just sad. But Angel Coaches, a lot of you guys have been there and really helped. I know Victoria gave us some organizations to work with, but we're really still trying to help them. Because we've got a Band-Aid on it, and what we want to do is help them get a plan of action so that they can move ahead and have a daily walk and success in their daily walk. So I'm going to put that on there, and there's a way you can donate, and I'm so appreciative of those who donated because a young single mom, she gives $5 because she goes, I know what that's like to live in fear and to live without security. So I appreciate everyone that donated time. I appreciate everyone that, Victoria, thank you for the organization that you recommended. And all those who donated money to help them, they've got a bed to sleep in tonight because of you guys. But I'm going to tell you something. Our mission in Angel Coaches is not only to help people find their life purpose, but to give them a place where they can sit there and get their life purpose and give them some folks to help them so they can live a great life. And are just a wonderful life and be safe and take the next step and have steady progress. So we've got people there that are helping out, and I appreciate everyone. You guys have a wonderful evening. Victoria, you are amazing as always.
We're going to go
horseback riding with her. When she gets married, we're going to the wedding, okay? So I love wedding cake, all right?
Yeah.
And
you're going to officiate the wedding, right?
Yes, exactly, I am. So I appreciate that. And she's got a great guy, and they're becoming friends first. So important. Anyway, and I appreciate you sharing your story there. Thank you, guys. Take care. We've got another show coming up on Thursday night with Allison. And she's, man, what a wonderful person to address family issues, children's issues, so we can we all live with the best possible intentions and have a great life. And she's going to talk and share some stuff about your kids and your family. And I'm not sure what it is, but I will have it out on the web probably tomorrow. No pressure, Allison. She's on the show listening. I see your number. Anyway, take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye. Bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.